We continue our learning. We're on Yom Perachas, Mishnah Vav. In the previous Mishnah, we spoke about a woman who was pregnant on Yom Kippur and felt that she needs to eat, so we feed her food until Tashiv Nafsha, the Mishnah said. Our Mishnah is going to speak about not necessarily Yom Kippur. Person has an illness, and there's a pikuach nefesh concern, so we can even feed him foods that are not kosher. Misha chazo bulmos, person who was seized by bulmos. Bulmos, the way the Mefarshim explain, is that sermon because of starvation. Now they're pale, they're very weak, even their vision is compromised. So ma'achilin oso afilu devarim temeim, we can feed him even non-kosher foods, Chazir and Nevela and Shkatzim and Ramasim, etc. Ad sheye oru enav, until his eyesight is restored. We see he's not going to faint, he's not pale, etc. Chiddush here is not only that, of course, you have a case of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is docha all of the mitzvos in the Torah, except Shvichus Damim and Avodah Zorah and Gilui Arayis. The Chiddush here is that you can have people who have this concern of Pikuach Nefesh, but may not be immediate. So if we wait a couple of hours for kosher food, so that obviously would be ideal. The case of Bulmos, and maybe other examples like that, where time is of the essence. It's something that's needed immediately, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that in those circumstances, of course, we will give them Devarim Tmeim if need be. Misha Neshacho Kelev Shoteh, a person who was bitten by a wild dog, a mad dog, a rabid dog. So, says the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, Ein Ma'achilin Oso Mechatzar Kaveh Chelo. You're not permitted to feed this person who was bitten by the dog from the lobe of the liver of that dog itself. It seemed to have been ancient medicine felt that this was some type of remedy. And the Tanakhama says it has not been proven effective. We don't have evidence that this is effective, and therefore we don't consider this pikuach nefesh to feed someone something that's not kosher from the liver of a dog. Obviously not. Rabbi Master ben Choresh says this is mutter. Now the Bar Tunur says why. So I quote from the Bar Tunur, Kasavar Rufua Gemurahi. Rabbi Master ben Choresh feels that this ancient practice, medical practice, was a real remedy, and it was an effective remedy, and therefore, since this is pikuach nefesh, you can feed him this non-kosher liver lobe from the kelev shote. The Rambam understands it a little bit differently. The Rambam says this is a part of a broader question, a broader discussion about something that seems to be a segula, something where it's really supernatural. Some type of remedy that really cannot be explained medically, can't be explained physiologically, and that's really what's happening in this Mishnah. Rabbi Master ben Choresh said this is mutter, apparently because he felt that even if we have something that's a segula, and this is what people feel is effective, so then we can be mechal Shabbos even through a Torah prohibition. V'odamar Rabbi Master ben Choresh, he said something else. Hachoshesh bigrono matilin lo sam besoch piv b'Shabbos. Person who has is an ailment in his throat. The Bar Tunur says it's something that starts in the chanichim, in the gums, and then it goes to the chich, goes to the palate, then it infects the throat. So he says you're allowed to place this sam. What sam is shoresh esev l'refuah, says the Bar Tunur, some type of root of grass for it, which was an antidote, was used as medicine, and you're allowed to place that in his mouth on Shabbos. Mipnei shehu safek nefashos, because it's safek nefashos, v'chol safek nefashos doches haShabbos. In any case of where there's potential danger involved, so that overrides the Shabbos. Now, I don't need Rabbi Master ben Choresh to teach me that you're allowed to give someone medicine on Shabbos when there's safek nefashos. If something we're concerned about his throat, that this really can lead to danger, to loss of life, of course you're allowed to give him medicine. In fact, we can give medicine on Shabbos even for a chola she'ein bo sakana. If medicine is only gzera derabanan, maybe a person is going to grind up the medications. That's gzera derabanan. That certainly would be allowed in the case of safek nefashos. So the chiddush of Rabbi Master ben Choresh here is that, and seems this is accepted, is that even though it may involve malacha, meaning I know I'm going to have to grind up the medication, doing the malacha of tochen, let's say, in order to do that, since this is safek nefashos, we're allowed to do the malacha in order to prepare this psalm in order to prepare this medication on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah concludes, V'chol safek nefashos doches haShabbos. In any case where there's possible danger to life, that overrides the Shabbos as well. Now, what do I need that extra statement for? Anything that safek nefashos overrides the Shabbos? That should be obvious from the previous statement. So the Baratunu explains, based on the Gemara, that this is coming to add the following, and I quote from the Baratunur, Kagon, de amdu lishtos samze limitemanya yomi. The doctors have assessed that this person needs to drink this medication for 8 days. Vyoma kama Shabbos, in the first day right now, what we're talking about is Shabbos. Mahu detema, what would you have said, la akvin hu ad la urta? You know, let's wait till nighttime, till Shabbos is over. Ki hechi delo nechol ale trei Shabbos, so that we don't have to desecrate two Shabboses. Kamash malon, that we can. What does it mean? I have a person who needs this medication, and medication, potentially, if they don't have it, maybe this is suffix defashos, maybe it's potential loss of life, and here we also don't go by the rove, even if it's a small... even it's a minor, the possibility is less than 50%, that's also a suffix. It could be a small minority as well. So I would have said, you know what, well, let's wait a couple hours till Shabbos is over. It's an 8-day medication. It's eight-day antibiotics. So let's wait till after Shabbos. This way, the only Shabbos they have to be mechala is next Shabbos. So kamashma, in order to do the malacha, in order to prepare the medication. Kamashma, in the chiddush of the Mishnah, is no kol suffix defashos doches haShabbos. Any suffix nefashos docha Shabbos, and that is that even if it will tell me it's 8 days and I have to be mechalo two Shabbos, so it's giving the medication right now, do the malacha right now, even though I may have to be mechalo this Shabbos and next Shabbos as well. One additional point, based on the beginning of the Mishnah, we spoke about suffix nefashos by the case of Bulmos. We spoke about giving him non-kosher food. So there is something related to Yom Kippur here as well. And that is on Yom Kippur when someone is ill. So the first thing we try is giving them pachos mikashir. We give them less than a koseves. And as we make sure that they don't eat it within what we call kedei achilas pras, so therefore we wait, and therefore it's not mitzarif. We don't, the different pieces don't join together. So give him less than a dry date, less than a koseves every 9 minutes, let's say as an example. So that's what we would try to do. But cases like bulmos and the like, so those are areas of halacha where there's a greater concern of immediacy, and therefore we would not give pachos because sheer certain people, the doctors will tell you it's not going to help them, and it's in order to ensure their health, their well-being, we have to give them, we have to feed them fully and a full shear of food and eat regularly. Then we begin Paraches Mishnah Zayin. Misha Nafla Lav Mapolis. Here you have someone who is under a collapsed building on Shabbos. Safek Kusham, Safek Enosham. We don't know if the person's really there or not. Suffolk Chai, Suffolk Mace. There's also maybe it's the case where the person, let's say they are there, I know they're there, but there is a Suffolk whether they're alive or dead. And others say, no, the mistress adding on many Sfekos. A, there's one Suffolk that maybe they're there, maybe they're not. And even if they are there, maybe they're not alive. Suffolk Oved Kochavim, Suffolk Israel. Maybe it's Oved Kochavim, an idol worshiper, or maybe it's a Jew. So it's an additional Suffolk. So with many and many of these uncertainties, nonetheless, says the Mishnah, when we don't follow the majority when it comes to Pikuach and Nefesh, Mifakchim Alav Esagal. What do? We clear the heap away from there, even though this involves Chilul Shabbos. And this is allowed even though there is a Safek and many Sfekos as well. And the Mishnah says, Mitzauhu Chai, Mifakchen Alav. If we now find him alive, so then we continue to take it off. Vimeis, but to take off the stones. Vimeis, but if the person we realize is dead, Yani Chuhu, we leave him there. Now, when the Gemara explains that when we dig and we clear away the stones to do the malacha, so even if there's a slight chance we can save his life, we do that. But If while you're digging, you see that the person is alive, so then we keep going. But if not, so then we can't keep going. Matzo meis. Now, how do we decide? How do we know there's a sign or not? So the Gemara says the Bartruner quotes the following. Chofrin asagal umchapsin acharav. Yes, we dig and we search. Vimbatku ad chotmo, but ko ad chotmo. We check him until, so we realize there's a body there. And then we start removing stones and we check the body up until the nose. Bein milamala, bein lamata, bein milamata lamala. Makes no difference. Whether you're starting from the head and all I got is to the nose and I didn't see the heart, you don't see any breathing, you're finished. You leave the person there. And if you're starting from the bottom, from the feet, and you're going all the way up, and you see, let's say, the heart is not beating, so you keep checking. You keep checking till all the way up to the nose to see if there's breathing. V'lo matzo bo neshama, says the Bartanura, b'yadu shu meis, v'shuv ein mefachim, alav dechsiv. What is this based on? This whole discussion of brain death is really based on this Mishnah, as the Pasuk says, kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'apav. That's how we determine whether the person is alive or dead for this purpose. Now, there's a chiddush here when the Mishnah here says at the end, if he's mace, aim v'fachim alav asagal. If they see he's not breathing, you can assume the person's dead, and that's it. And that's true. That's true if you don't see a nishmas chayim ba'apav. So, but there's a chiddush in the last statement as well. What do you mean? If he's alive, obviously you keep going. If he's dead, I could figure out. If he's dead, then you don't keep going. So the following is the chiddush. Because even though there is a discussion, we've mentioned this in Masechah Shabbos. What about saving the body of someone who died from a fire? So the halacha there is that some Tanarim say that that's okay, even though... And that's true. When let's say the person, let's say you're only carrying a dead body is only muksa, all right? Or if especially to another place, if you're carrying or moving the muksa, let's say, is the body is a rabbinic prohibition of muksa. And if it's carrying and if the area, let's say, is enclosed, there's just no Erev Chatzeres that they made, it's also Durabanim. So there, we allow a person to do an Issa Durabanan, according to some Tanoim, were to clear out a dead body from a fire. So if the person's dead, why would I not be able to move them here? Let's say do an Issa Durabanan, clear them out from underneath the collapsed building. It's only an Issa Durabanan to move the body, so that should be allowed, as long as the area is enclosed. Maybe there's no area of Chatzeros, and says moving Mukta, all the Rabbanans, so maybe you should allow that the way some Tanoim allow when it comes to a fire. So the answer, the reason why that's not true, the Gemara says, and that pehe is because when it came to a fire, so we allow to remove even a dead body because we're concerned and we don't allow a person to do that. They may now extinguish with fire. We have many halachos about that in the 16th parak of Shabbos. So that's true when it comes to a fire. But here, there's no such concern, and therefore, if you realize the body is mace, so then in Yanichu, we leave him there.